Alrighty, guys, welcome back to the Left of Straight Show Interviews, the premier podcast that shares the stories of our amazing LGBTQ community and, of course, fantastic straight allies, all from entertainment, foodies, books, music, and advocacy. I'm your host, as always, Scott Fullerton, and let's start talking.
Hi.
Welcome back, everyone, to the very special edition here of the Left of Straight Show Interviews, where today we're diving into the sweet and hard candy Christmas world of the hit Canadian TV show Sugar Highs. Joining me in studio today are the fantastic co-stars who brought this fun series to life. Adam Fox, known for his insightful approach to acting and directing. Joey Benny, a dynamic presence both on screen and off. Michael Ayers, whose performance continues to captivate audiences, and Sam Davidson, a rising star with a fresh perspective in the industry. Together, these talented actors form a powerhouse team exploring themes of connection, identity, and growth in the newly launched second season of their series, making waves in both the LGBTQ community and our mainstream audiences alike. I can't wait to talk to them all, but first, take a look.
We gotta toughen up and get back in the game. I'm putting all our sweet asses back up on the sugar app. We got 6 days to make rent.
What is with these sugar daddies falling in love?
Have boomers never heard of casual sex?
You may have been engaged a dozen times.
Five. And it doesn't matter if it was only for 16 hours.
14. We only play all together.
It's the new American dream, I guess.
Mind if I watch TV?
Go ahead.
I'll tell you one thing. This is gonna be my last 4G.
So, are you gay?
I'm gay for pay.
Is that a sexual identity now?
Yeah. It's got its own category on Pornhub.
Well, guys, welcome to the Left of Straight Show Interviews. We have a Brady Bunch moment going on here. We have windows aplenty. The entire cast is here with us. Welcome. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
well, I'm excited to have you on. The series is so fun. I caught a bit of it last year. I went and rewatched the last season, and we have the first two episodes out of season two. So congratulations on that. Let's start with a little background first, though. Adam, tell me a little bit. I'd like to find out where you're from and what kind of a kid were you? What drew you to the entertainment industry?
So I'm from Vancouver, Canada, which is the West Coast. As a kid, I was very eccentric, and I loved being naked. I was always running around my neighborhood naked, which my parents were very permissive about. Yeah, I didn't get into the industry, though, until like my mid-20s. But I think if I – and I loved doing like accents and impressions and stuff as a kid. I think if I had parents that were more attuned to like – entertainment industry, they would have been like, oh, he probably wants to be an actor, but my parents are the last people to consider that. So just was being crazy on my own.
There you go. And speaking of running around naked, we have, of course, Joey here, which shows plenty of hiney in the series here, along with the rest of you. Joey, give us a little bit of your background, my friend.
I was born in San Diego. My dad was in the military, so we kind of moved around a lot. Spent a little bit of time in Florida, and then spent most of like my later childhood in Virginia Beach. But yeah, as a kid, I was always a little performer, much to my brother's annoyance, because I was the older one, so I'd always kind of be bossy and be like, "We're gonna put on a little play." And so yeah, that. And then as a kid, I was just obsessed with dinosaurs, and I loved bugs. I'd like always be catching bugs and putting them in jars on my, you know, I just loved animals and nature, and I still do. And then, yeah, as I got older, I kind of got into like skateboarding and bodyboarding and hanging out with my friends. And then, and then when I turned 21, I was like, you know, I want to move back to California. But I was kind of like, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, because I went to school with, like, oh, I'm going to school to be an accountant. I'm going to be a nutritionist. I'm like, who knows at 18 what the. So I just remember thinking back to like, what did I want to be as a kid that I would like really be interested in pursuing? And it just kind of, I was like, oh, well, why don't I be an actor? And I was like, well, I have to go to California for that. And I was like, I'm going to move back to California. So, So yeah, and it's, you know, I enjoy the journey, and I love the people I've met on the way, and yeah, and then here I am.
Nice. Well, that gives a great transition to Sam. Sam, your character kind of is looking for what he wants to do in life as well. He's got an app he's developing. He's kind of like the heart of the show. Talk about where you grew up and what kind of a kid were you?
I grew up in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I was, I don't know what type of kid I was. I don't remember much, but I know I was very, I had a lot of trouble focusing. That's really all I can say. I also really enjoyed comedy and was a huge fan of a show that's filmed locally in my town called Trailer Park Boys. And so I decided that I wanted to try to get on that show. So I started just going to auditions and stuff. And then it's just sort of sustained itself a little bit, and I'm still acting here and there, and it's a great way to make some money, and I still don't know what I want to do with my life, but this is fun while it lasts.
Don't we all? Then we have Michael here, who's seasoned pro and done some great things out there we'll talk about in a bit. But Michael, give us a little bit about your background.
I grew up north of Toronto in a suburb called Aurora. As a kid, I danced competitively for like 10 years. I was really into the arts and things like that, and, you know, did school plays and went to theater school. And this is kind of a natural progression, I guess.
I love that. One of my favorite lines in the series, I think, is one that Sam's character says, how it's kind of like, no, I'm not gay, but I'm young, so I'm not going to be celibate either. So I think that's a great line that talks about the fluidity of all these characters. Adam, give me a kind of an insight when you saw the script. It has such a great diversity. What did you like about it, and what brought you onto this piece?
Yeah, I think when I first saw the script, I think the first thing that excited me about it was just the dialogue itself. Like, it was just very funny and witty, and I honestly, it was funny. There was one time I was watching season one at a family friend's house because they wanted to see the show, and they had subtitles on. And although, like, obviously our acting's great, but like watching it with subtitles so you can really see the writing, I would recommend, because it's like really funny. But yeah, I was drawn to that. I was drawn to the subject matter. I do find the world of like sugar babying and all that is a little bit elusive for a lot of people. Like, a lot of us don't know what that's like, what those people are like, so it's kind of cool to like research it, be in it, and embody it.
I agree, and I also agree with the closed captioning. As a bear of a certain age here, I kind of always have to have everything in closed captioning, so yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good way to find different parts there. Michael, talk about you. What kind of drew you to your character? I mean, we have that dance background, of course, you just talked about, but your character is it's a little bit of a surprise near the end of it from what everyone thinks of you to be in the beginning. Talk about what drew you to your character.
Similar to what Adam said, I think the writing was really the big draw for this series. I mean, it really was easy to get into it and bring it off the page in that respect. And I think there's a lot of aspects of Clark that for me feel like close to who I am and what I'm like, you know, not a complete overlap, but it just felt really, really natural.
Nice. And Joey, talk about your character here. I mean, you play the kind of, I mean, it's hard. You went to Groundling School, so you have that comedy background, but I mean, it's kind of hard to play dumb, and your character has a little bit. Yeah. So talk about what drew you to that character. Was that going to be kind of fun to play, or what drew you to your character?
Yeah, well, I've always been just a nut and like just trying to make people laugh. To echo what Adam said, when I first read the script for season one, I was laughing out loud. And I was like, I just felt so like, yeah, Tab is like, he's fun. And yeah, I mean, I really like comedy, and yeah, I mean, everything I've learned from UCB and Groundlings, it's, you know, you just kind of like incorporate it into your performance, and you just be, and yeah, so I was just really drawn to it, and I was excited that Tab is fun, and I could, you know, it's almost like, man, I'm so lucky I get to be this guy.
That is awesome. And Sam, like I said, your character kind of plays the heart of the show there. Was there any kind of extra pressure on you not to have the funny scenes like Joey has, or maybe the heart scenes and everything that Adam and Michael play? How was it getting into your character?
Well, I went into it pretty blindly, but as I learned more about the character, I did connect with him, just in the sense that he's, he's pretty lost. He's young and he's lost, and I can definitely relate to that in some aspects. And yeah, I just try to play into that, I guess, and that sort of awkwardness.
And I love, one of the things I like about small series like this, we got 6 episodes, I think, in each season, is you really do get to tell a story. It's not like a Friends or something where everything's kind of individually contained, right? You get to kind of tell out the story over time. Do you like that, Michael? Do you like telling that story? And is it kind of exciting? What are you looking forward to in the story developing in season 2 here?
Yeah, it is really fun and exciting to sort of play a character through a couple episodes in a story arc and watch things evolve in that regard. I think all of the characters in season 2, you know, make some sort of strides. I can't say if they're for better or worse, but they certainly make strides in directions and in terms of their development. And it was a lot of fun and a great opportunity to be able to do that. And, you know, I love an episodic show. Absolutely. You know, give me 22 episodes of something that I can just throw on in the background for sure. But something like this is really great to sort of sit down and grow with the characters as they do.
Exactly. Binge culture is where it's at, but it's so much fun when you have these, like you said, you see how they're growing throughout the series. So it's a lot of fun. And Joey, you and Sam, I think, worked with the director and writer Tom before. I hear he's very much kind of an actor's director where you can do your own set. You can kind of find your own space and he works around you. What was it like on set there? What was it like to work on the set?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. So before we shoot each scene, we have like a blocking rehearsal. So everyone who's in the scene comes in, all of the crew, you know, lighting, camera, we're all there to basically block out like, all right, you're going to go from this door to the couch, and just so they know how to move and set up the lights and everything. And Tom is really good with, you know, unless it's written specifically what they're doing, he's like, you know, what do you think you would be doing, or what would you what feels right to you? And for me as Tab, I, you know, scenes like that where I'm able to choose something from my environment, I would always go for, like, you know, something goofy, like, you know, in season 1 there's a bubble gun. I was like, that Tab thing. Yeah, you'll see in another scene we got some like funny glasses, and, you know, so I have a moose glass in the very opening scene of season 1. So he's very good with giving us that freedom to find what our characters would do. So yeah, he's very good with that. And, you know, if you have any questions, like, Tom, I don't really understand, or I'm not, he's like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's this. So yeah, he's good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And Sam, talk to me about the group dynamics. I mean, we got to talk about Ursula. She's an amazing scene partner for all of you guys. I think she does a fantastic job. You have all the guys playing the daddies in here. How has it been for the corroboration and just the camaraderie on set?
It's been great. We filmed it in the Atlantic School of Theology in Halifax, and all the apartment scenes are just in this like little room area on the top floor. And we just spend like a lot of time in there, hanging out in between scenes. Yeah, we just spend all our time together, and we got to know each other.
That is awesome. And Adam, speaking of that, I mean, talking about great people to work with, Scott Thompson, one of my heroes from everything. How fun has that been to play? What's he brought to it? And what have you learned from him, if anything?
Yeah, Scott's awesome. And he brings a lot of energy to set. Especially because it's filmed in Halifax, I feel like people from, I don't want to generalize, but I think a lot of people from Halifax seem to consume Canadian content and have pride in Canadian content. So everybody on set was so excited to meet Scott. So it just really energized the atmosphere anytime he was there, which was really wonderful. So I feel like any day of filming with him was just going to be fun and lively. And yeah, I think what was impressive about him in terms of learning from him, he is very in the moment and he's able to just kind of like pick things up really quickly. And just, I guess maybe from doing sketches and stuff. But yeah, it was cool. I mean, he's very funny, obviously, very charming. And he brings a lot of joy to the show.
I love that. Michael, talk to me about, I mean, this, for those that haven't seen the second season yet, we don't want to give too much away, but your story, we're kind of a little different this season than what was happening last season. Talk about to you, what are you excited to see coming up for your character and what's been like maybe the most fun episode for you to shoot so far?
Well, I don't want to give anything away, but I mean, it's always just, it's really fun to work with Adam, and I think we get along really well, and this sort of dynamic between between our characters, I think, is a very relatable dynamic, unfortunately, for a lot of people, and it was really fun to play through that, and I think, like, for Clark's own evolution as, like, a character and a person, it was nice to move with him through that and have him sort of, you know, grow up a little bit, sort of stand on his feet a little bit, in a way that he I wouldn't say he necessarily does a lot in the first season. I'm really looking forward to seeing the finale of season two. I don't want to give anything away, so I'll just leave it at that.
There you go. You got to watch those spoilers. Joey, what was your favorite scene to film throughout the series? What did you have a particularly fun time on set for any episode?
Yeah, I mean, I think for season two, I'm also very excited because for season one and so far the first two episodes of season two, you know exactly where Sam and Adam's characters sleep. So in this season, you finally get to see Tad's room. Yeah. So that's fun. And there's a I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but the episode that you see Tad's room, that episode was really fun for us to film, I think all three of us. Michael, I don't know if you were there that day.
I couldn't tell you.
I don't think either of us were.
I'm looking forward to that because all we've seen so far is your door and women piling out of them. So it's going to be a different take altogether. So,
it's fun, and you know, season one we had a party, so that was good, and we may or may not have one in season two. So those are always fun to shoot. But then there's also, this one wasn't fun, but there's a scene in season two where Tab realizes that life isn't just, you know, butterflies and unicorn and super easy. And that was, I wouldn't say fun, but as an actor, it was very like fulfilling to, like, after that day, you know, leave set and be like, wow, you know, like I feel like I did justice for that. And so I'm excited to see it.
Nice. Yeah. Well, talk about that, Sam. I mean, this is a sitcom, basically, but you guys all kind of hit a wall in the fourth episode, right? Everyone had an issue to deal with or something in season one, episode four. Kind of everyone had something going wrong with it there. What was it like to be able to have those fun moments, but to get into the acting mode as well for the other parts? Do you enjoy that kind of juxtapositions?
Yeah, well, it was interesting sort of finding a balance. I enjoyed sort of playing it or sort of playing up the struggle, but also the sitcom aspect was also challenging for me because you gotta be silly. I mean, Mickey was more of like a straight man, which is I think something I'm better at, but it was really cool finding that balance, I think.
And I haven't really talked about the premise of the series because I'm assuming all my listeners better have watched season one like I have. But just in case, I want you, Adam, to kind of give a brief overview of what it's about, but talk about the importance of portraying all these different LGBTQ spectrum characters and the importance of kind of representing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the premise of the show is about mainly three roommates struggling to pay rent. So they find sugar daddies to pay the bills. They live in San Francisco where rent is expensive and they are struggling to get by. And none of them is particularly excelling in their chosen paths. My character is a dancer. Mickey wants to develop an app. Clark, Michael's character, is also a dancer, and Tab is, at the beginning, I think, an Adderall dealer. Yeah. I'm a skateboarder. I think what's cool about this show in particular, in terms of portraying the, like, sugar baby experience and a lens into a version of, I guess, the sex work realm, it's a lot more realist. It's, you know, it's not like glossy shopping. It's not like sugar daddy's taking us to Hermes. It's more like, you know, we go for dinners, but you see our like pretty rough looking low rent apartment. And just like the day-to-day life, sharing a room, that kind of thing. And I think in terms of representation, I think what's great about the show is it does show you so many different types of LGBTQ people, so many different types of couples, different types of dynamics and relationships. And I think it can show you with this dynamic, the sugar baby, sugar daddy, or sugar mommy thing, some examples of it working and not working. Because anything can work if it's if people are being emotionally mature and honest, right? Which we're not always honest, but sometimes we try to be. I think that aspect is really well represented. And again, I think like what makes the show unique is, again, the realist kind of, it's funny, but it's also pretty realistic portrayal of, you know, young folks trying to get through life, figure themselves out, figure their life out, and pay the bills.
And Joey, I think you're and Sam's character, the ones that are kind of on the fence there. I mean, your character starts out very straight looking for the sugar mama, but then you find that there's actually, you can build these relationships with another man, right? And you find a relationship that's outside of sex and everything else. Sam kind of goes a different route and kind of finds it of resisting at first, but finds a true kind of mentorship. Talk about what your character's evolution a bit. Joey.
So I think that, you know, I've always just, you know, in fleshing Tab out and what his views are, I've just kind of landed on that he's trisexual. So he will try anything sexual, but he's also not judgmental. So he doesn't yuck anyone's yum, even if it's not for him. So, and I think that his relationship with Benny goes from, hey, I'm just gonna like see what I could get out of this guy. And there's a scene in season one and where he's at Benny's house in the kitchen where he really tells him like, hey, you know, I'm not doing this just because, like, you know, I'm doing this because I came out later in life. I kind of missed my 20s and my 30s being young and being out. And so I want to use, almost like he wants to go through this journey with Tab, almost like to relive part of his life that he feels like he missed out on. And I think that's good for Tab. And that's where Tab realizes, oh, these are human beings. These aren't just like, you know, a dollar sign. And so I think that's how he goes through his relationship with Benny and also realizing that, like, wow, no one's ever really like kind of cared for me in that way. And so I think it's a good evolution and it shows people that, like, we all know about like sugar baby, sugar daddy kind of relationship, but this is like, you know, it's all human. these are human relationships, and right. why are people getting into these kind of relationships and these arrangements? And so, yeah, so I think that that storyline will help to open people's eyes as well.
Very well said. And Sam, like I said, I think your line kind of best describes sexuality along all genders and everything. You, for season one, you kind of reluctantly in the end find your sugar daddy. But in season two, it kind of starts out, you feel obligation. I mean, you can see where your heart is after you have this relationship and things are going a little differently now in season two for you. And you feel that almost an obligation now just for the personhood of this person and what this person's about, nothing to do with sexuality, right? Talk about your journey.
Yeah. So Mickey and Costa's relationship starts out in season one sort of as a transactional situation, but he can't help but get his feelings involved, can't help but, you put it pretty well, feel obligated in some ways to, I don't know if, how much I can say of the situation in season two. But basically, he does get into a situation with Costas that just makes him feel very. It's already out. Yeah. So no spoilers, but he borrows money from Costas for his app, and that kind of falls on its face, and he just feels awful about it, to the point where instead of facing it, he's just kind of spends some time in the second season avoiding him. And yeah, I think so Mickey's just the type of guy to has trouble not letting his feelings get in the way of these types of relationships.
Right. Michael, talk to me about the reception to the show in both the LGBTQ and the straight community. What kind of comments have you heard? What are you most proud of in the representation of the show? And what have you heard that kind of gives you that kind of warm, fuzzy feeling a bit?
Well, I'm not a super online person, but the things I've heard have been all quite positive. I mean, it seems like people are really enjoying the show, which is always really nice. It's nice to have things be well received, and I mean, my friends love it, which is great. oh my gosh, what was the other part of your question? My brain just
no. That was pretty much it. Just what the feelings are of others that you've heard so far, and what you hope your representation is to the LGBTQ community.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. So I think people are enjoying it, and I think it's, you know, people always, I mean, myself included, love to see themselves represented on TV and in stories. And, you know, this show, I think, is pretty fresh in that regard. I can't really think of much else that really has these same kinds of dynamics or characters. And yeah, it's just been really, really nice to be a part of something that feels like young and fresh, and like something that I would have wanted to watch when I was, you know, 10 years younger than I am now, or 15 years younger than I am now, whether or not that is appropriate or not. Yeah.
I understand how that goes, believe me. All right. And Adam, your character is probably obviously is the most sexualized of this thing, but you're gone through a journey now as well, right? You've kind of, season two, we're seeing you're maybe trying to come to realize your own feelings a bit. How do you feel that Adam is kind of self-actualizing a little bit, or where do you see Adam's journey going to season two without teasing too much or spoiling too much?
Sorry, do you mean me or the character?
The character.
Oh, the character.
If you're sexual too, we could talk about that off air. It's a whole thing on another episode. Let's talk about your character though.
Just because you said Adam, not Bud, so I wanted to clarify. So Bud's journey in season two about his feelings. Yeah, I think that because of how a lot of the events in season one unfolded, I think my character, without giving too much away, whether or not he fully commits to making a change, I think he's more aware of the risks of sort of weaponizing emotions and people's feelings. Or maybe that's a bit of an aggressive word, but, you know, for no better word, like using people's emotions. And I don't think that he necessarily does any of that with a lot of malice, but I think he just is a little bit practical and when he wants something, he'll find a way to get it. And then I think in season two, he's starting off from a place of maybe, like you said, being a little bit more aware and in tune with his emotions. But I do think a big thing for Bud in general, regardless of growth, is that I do think that I don't think he is always clear on his own emotions. And I think that is what gets him into a lot of the mess. And I think that
very well said. Well, guys, I am looking forward to season two, seeing the rest of it. The first two episodes have been fantastic. Joey, talk to me about what your hopes are for the rest of the season. How soon did you guys learn about season two being picked up from season one? Is there a possibility for season three? I mean, it was very much cliffhanger for season one. We expected a season two. Are you expecting a season three, or fingers crossed?
I mean, definitely fingers crossed for a season three. I originally was under the impression, and I think the other guys were too, that Sugar Eyes was going to be a mini series. So it was like six episodes. That was fun. Can't wait to see it. And then, you know, we got a call being like, hey, are you guys available these days? We're going to do a season two. And this was before season one was even out. So while we're in the middle of filming season two, the episodes for season one were coming out. So I remember there was one day where I think my pickup was like at 10 a.m. and it was 6 o'clock, and I was like, oh my God, a new episode. So I was like trying to watch that as I'm getting ready to be picked up. And so I think the hope is that there'll be a season three. And I think if enough people like it and, you know, on the message board say like, oh, that's good, then hopefully we get a third season. Yeah.
Nice. You have any other upcoming projects you're allowed to talk about? Of course, actors have to be hush-hush and all that, but anything that you have in the horizon?
Well, I did a music video with Suki Waterhouse that should probably be coming out next week, I believe. And then I'm filming a small part on a independent film this weekend. And then got a couple things that are up in the air for the fall, and we're just trying to land that and finalize it. So we'll see.
Very nice. And Sam, you basically can take a bus to set. You're in the same place where they're filming out there. Anything you want to do in the future? Any projects coming up? Anything exciting on your front?
Nothing really happening right now. I'm looking for a job, basically. if anyone in the Halifax area is watching who works in hospitality, I'm a dishwasher and I'm pretty good at hiring.
Casting directors watch my show all the time. You'll be picked up in an instant, I'm sure. So yeah, you are good to go there. Michael, I'm just jealous of your time in Discovery. I'm a huge Wilson Cruz fan. And yeah. Are we going to see you in this final season at all? You had a couple times so far.
Yeah, I think my transporter officer has been moved to another ship. So the chances of you seeing me on Discovery again are quite unlikely, but I've got my own things, my own irons in the fire. I'm a writer as well. Two short films that I wrote that I'm currently in pre-production for, just trying to find enough money to get them actually made. So that's where a lot of my focus is right now.
Nice, congratulations! Sucks
Thank
to be
you.
Me on Discovery. I was keeping an eye out for you there.
Well, you can keep watching and watch the old episodes and see me frantically working those buttons.
There you go. I love it. Adam, what's going on with you, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, I'm also writing, so I have a series that I'm trying to also get made. I do have a showrunner, so that's promising. But these things take a while. It can take years, right? And then in addition to that, just auditioning a lot. Hoping something good pulls through soon. I feel quite hopeful.
Nice. Well, guys, I appreciate you guys taking on. We're so lucky to have the cast of Sugar Highs. You can find it on Out TV. Joey, let's go across the board here. Let everyone know where they can find you on social media if they want to follow you guys.
So I really only use Instagram. And my handle is @MrGnarlyJoe. Gnarly with a G. And I have a Twitter, but I don't use it. I just use it to read like political articles. It's like a boring old man.
Don't we all? I love auto post. I post on one, it posts everything else, and I don't even care about the other one. So I
yeah, but that's pretty much it. It's mostly just
Adam. Instagram. Where can we find you, my friend?
Also, mainly on Instagram, Fox Official, a handle that I'm growing into. TikTok, I believe it's also the same, Adam Fox Official. I don't use TikTok much. Twitter is the same, but I also don't use it that much. And yeah, so those three basically, but mainly Instagram.
There you go. Michael, do we have to mail you, snail mail you? You don't like this whole thing? How do we find you?
Yeah, I mean, all my social media is private, and I don't really even use it very much except to keep tabs on other people. So if you want to see me, you can absolutely watch this show, Apple TV and OTV, and check out anything else I've done. Just look me up on IMDb.
Nice. Sam, how about yourself, my friend?
My Instagram's also private. I don't really use it for... Yeah, I just use it to keep up with people, like Michael said.
There you go. It helps with the jobs, though. I got to tell you, Instagram will help with the jobs on occasion. You never know.
Oh, Scott, we also have a show Instagram.
Oh, what is that? Let everyone know that.
It's just Sugar High's Official. Right, Joey?
Very,
yeah,
very
it's on
good.
Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah, Sugar High's Official on Instagram.
All right. Well, Joey Benny, Adam Fox, Michael Ayers, and Sam Davison, thanks so much for stopping by Leftist Right Show Interviews today. Guys, again, the show is Sugar Highs. You can find it, as I say, on Apple TV, Out TV. It's a lot of fun. It has some heart to it, has a little bit of drama on occasion, and I'm loving season two so far. Guys, stay tuned. We're going to do a little 5 question with them. You'll be able to see next week. We appreciate you tuning in every week to Leftist Right Show Interviews. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Left of Straight Show. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast distributor, and please give us a 5-star rating so more listeners can find us. You can follow us on social media, and be sure to check out our website for contests and other news and information. See you next week.